May we be helped to commence our evening worship by singing together hymn 249, hymn 249, tune Redeeming Love, 724. Hymn 249. O love divine, how sweet thou art. When shall I find my willing heart, all taken up by thee? I thirst and faint, and die to prove the greatness of redeeming love, the love of Christ to me. God only knows the love of God. Oh, that it now were shed abroad in this poor stony heart. For this I sigh, for this I pine, this only portion, Lord, be mine this better part. Hymn 249, tune Redeeming Love, 724.
Amen. Mm-hmm. read together from the most holy word of God, from the book of Proverbs and the third chapter. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honour the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honour. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, and when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbour, go, and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbour, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, But he that blesseth the habitation that but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us that portion of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most kind and gracious God, O thou hast spared our unworthy lives and brought us each into thy courts this night. And certainly as we've driven those miles this day and been found upon the high road, we thank thee for those mercies granted. And now as thou hast spared us to gather in thy courts, may it please thee, we might be found amongst those whom thou hast drawn by thy sweet resistless grace. Amongst those black but comely whom thou hast drawn because thou hast a purpose of grace toward them. Oh, we look back to those years when we came and went from thy courts, and we had no more desire or feeling than the very seat we sat upon. We were satisfied with the outward form of things, until thou didst, take us in hand. When thou didst in thy mercy set thy word in our heart like the nail in a sure place, and that word entered in with power. That word, yes, the word of Almighty God, which truly changes a heart and renews a will and turns a feet to Zion's hill. Yes, we may say, well, our feet were found in the courts of the Lord. But all with shame we look back to those years, and we have to confess our heart was far from thee. Our heart and our desire was not toward thy house. And so we plead, do take each in hand, work mighty in their heart, they might know what it is to have their ear bored to the doorpost and come up to thy courts like those Greeks of old with a sir. We would see Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus. And so may it please thee, look down upon us in mercy this night. And thou lookest upon the heart and seest all the desire. And perhaps one it is with those wishes which seem so weak. But Jesus inspires and bids thee still seek. Oh, enable one or another yet to press on. To press toward the mark of that high calling. Ah, yes, to seek that thou wouldest lead them forth for that right way, that they might go to that city of habitation, that thou wouldest instruct them in the way in which they should go. All as much instruction is there not in the Proverbs. Much instruction. And may we be found amongst those that receive that instruction as the Holy Spirit works in the heart and makes willing in the day of thy power to receive it. When we were hard and unconcerned, thy word had no effect upon us until, yes, that time came when thou didst take out the heart of stone and give the heart of flesh. That heart made receptive by the Blessed Spirit to the teaching of the Spirit and to receive instruction. And so do take us each in hand, we plead. And as we've been brought into thy courts once again this night, oh, we would commend each one unto thee, and those that were here this morning, the little ones, Lord, remember them, and especially as we look upon the very young and those growing up and going on into life. It is a present evil world. But oh, we plead to keep them. Keep them, guard them, guide them. Keep them tender of heart and mind and conscience. Keep them close to Thee. Work in their hearts whilst young in years, we plead. They might know the truth, the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And to remember the parents in all that concerns them, and certainly there is much that concerns parents in our day. Evil is called good and good is called evil. There is so much to made to look very attractive, so much to allure. And certainly the devil goes about as a roaring lion on the one hand, and at other times, in that subtle way, very subtle way, seeking, cause this one or that one to fall into those snares, into those slippery places. But all we plead, and especially then for the young, ever keep them. Keep them in the hour of temptation, and enable them to say, so did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. And to give parents that wisdom to answer the many questions that will arise and do arise in our day, to counter all the evil that is forced upon them, especially upon the young. So remember them, we plead. Remember those in the midst of life that bear the heat and burden of the day. Thou knowest the cares that one or another, it is that which thou hast brought into their path, and that which thou hast appointed in thy sovereignty. Oh, and at times it is many cares and trying circumstances, but all we plead that thou wouldest govern all, manage all for them by the way unto the end. And may they see that even these things, and crooks in the lot and crosses, that thou dost appoint them to come. And sometimes we look back to those years and see what a mercy when thou didst hedge up the way, prevent us in this or that. And we look back now and see it was kept by the power of God. But do remember those in the midst of life, and we plead, make ways for them where there seems to be no way. Make mountains flow down at thy presence. Make those dark places light. And be unto them, oh, we plead, that one that is able to supply all their needs according to thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Proving that thou art one, the gold and silver thine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. And what a mercy when we read this blessed truth, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Yes, and sometimes we proved in our little lives, have we not? And we read those accounts of old, especially when we read, well, as one has read it, Warburton's Mercies, how many times through his pathway, and especially when his children were younger, how many times the Lord appeared in most wonderful ways to supply the need, to supply the need. And so may each one, yes, and whether it is the younger ones or those in the midst of life or older, it is a day of changing circumstances. Things have changed in a moment, and things are now somewhat different than they were perhaps two or three years ago. But may we each prove there is help laid upon one that is mighty, and that truly there is that one that does provide for his people. And in those times and things, we proved it so, looking back more than we can ask or even think. And do remember those that know what it is to feel the mud wall cottage shake. They feel heart and flesh begin to fail. Or be unto them the everlasting arms, the God of Jeshurun. Ah, that one that has not failed, that one that has brought them hitherto, one that has been their stay and their refuge many a time, a refuge and strength many a time in their seasons of trouble and difficulty. And may it please, might have that faith to believe that he who hath helped them hitherto will help them all their journey through and give them daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to thy praise. And to remember those in their afflictions, and we think of our dear sister in the faith, Beryl, here this night. Ah, it has been a path of affliction, has it not? Many a deep trial, but all may she prove again and again. Again and again, those everlasting arms of one that, yes, has a feeling for us in all our infirmities, was tempted in all points like us, we are yet without sin. Prove again and again that one that, that loveth at all times a brother born for adversity. And it's in those times of adversity and especially affliction when thou dost thou art pleased to draw near, and we prove that thou art that one. Thou art that one that truly did take upon himself a body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin, made under the law, but all when here upon the earth thou didst sympathize with those that wept. Thou knewest what it was to be wearied with the journey. Thou knewest what it was to be tempted of the adversary. Ah, and yea, even this didst thou not say, ah, yes, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And so we plead to remember Beryl, we plead for her that thou wouldest grant those helps and those encouragements in the way. May those times and seasons which are bitter to the flesh may be made sweet to the soul. Thou canst sanctify. Thou canst sanctify. And blessed be God when it is our afflictions are sanctified. Then we can say of a truth, it was good that I was afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. When we prove in our afflictions that we're brought into also into sympathy with Christ and his sufferings, we know our sufferings are but as nothing compared to thine. But oh, when we're brought in the midst of it all to think upon one who truly did suffer, bleed and die in our room, place and stead. Ah, then what are our sufferings compared to thine? And so to remember, dear Beryl, and any others in their afflictions, we think of one another as we know of them throughout the hills of Zion. Lord, go unto them where they are, make their bed for them, bless all the means used for their good. And now, O Lord, as we would seek thy help this night, oh, we plead thy blessing upon that which was attended to this morning. Oh, what a mercy when we even have those recorded sermons left on record. We've proved as we read them in times past, they've touched a chord and come right where we've been. And may it please thy blessing might rest upon that of the morning. And may nothing this evening mar it. But now, O Lord, we seek for thy help as we realize that time is restrained and we have the ordinance to attend to. And so we now would seek to fall into thy hands. Oh, bless us each together, do us each good and send none empty away. Pardon and forgive then our sins and our failings and our shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious and atoning blood. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices are that God willing, Mr. Bernard Burgess will preach here on Tuesday evening. And as each family in the congregation hopes to be away on holiday next Lord's Day, such that there will be no congregation present, there will be no services held here next Lord's Day. Mr. Paul Tyler is engaged to preach the following Tuesday, and Mr. Bernard Burgess the following Lord's Day. May we now be helped to further sing hymn 726. 726 to the tune Wells 507. Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ, the true, the only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night. Dayspring, from on high be near, Day star, in my heart appear. Hymn 726, tune Wells 507.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the chapter in Proverbs we read, chapter 3. We'll read verses 13, 14 and 15. Well, we'll also include 16. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13, 14, 15 and 16. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold, which is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honour. Oh, there's much instruction, is there not, in the book of Proverbs? Well, yes, right throughout the Word of God, but in the book of Proverbs. But oh, how it struck my mind as I thought upon it again this morning. How it speaks, my son. Oh, and that way of relationship, my son. And it searched my heart in this way. Am I found as a son or a daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ? This is not speaking unto the world. This is spiritual language. Yes, I know there's much that regards perhaps the natural path and the walk of the child of God, and even as perhaps man of the world, if they were to take note of it. But here it speaks in this way, my son. My son. And it brings to mind then this, am I quickened by his Spirit? Live a life of faith and prayer. Yes, we read what Christ said. Marvel not when I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And that new birth, they're brought into that place as a son or a daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God, joint heir with Christ. That one that feelingly is a beggar poor at mercy's door. Yes, that one that feelingly has been brought there. My son. And so it begins in that way of relationship. Ah, yes, and a son is begotten of a father, is it not? Are they not? And are we then amongst those that are begotten of the Father? Not a natural father, but the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. The Eternal Father, God the Father. Are we found amongst those? In that way, chosen in eternity past. Chosen. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they have a portion. A portion have they not in that which is of grace. That unmerited favour of Almighty God through what the Eternal Son hath done in their own place and stead. My son. My son. Yes, who read those other chapters there, hear ye children in that same way. That close relationship. And my son in chapter 5 and I say chapter 4, hear ye children. And chapter 2, my son. And so may it please the Lord to bring us each to that knowledge. That we can, with a little hope in exercise. I know in this way I can remember it so. My God, my Father, blissful name. Oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. and that was upon my spirit those years ago. Ah, yes, my God, my Father, blissful name. Oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. What is that portion? That portion which is not the merchandise of silver and gold, but that portion which is in Christ, and through what Christ hath wrought in the sinner's room place instead, through his salvation, that which was through his sufferings, his death and his merits and his shed blood, something which touched my heart in that way as we had the first hymn. And perhaps that touched a chord in your heart. O love divine, how sweet thou art. When shall, yes, that longing, looking forward, what a mercy have you brought to that. Perhaps you cannot say at the moment, my God, my Father. But oh, did you find the language of that hymn then? As in the echo in your very soul, O love divine, how sweet thou art. Well, what a mercy have been brought thus far. There's not one that is dead or unconcerned. That is one, I believe, being led and taught of the Spirit, if they can truthfully say that. Ah, has it been made known unto them thus far? There's that one. They desire to know and to learn more of, proving that, yes, you can learn these things like the schoolboy learns his tasks, a task up to a point, but you want it inscribed upon your heart, inscribed there, indelibly inscribed there, and in that way, taught by the Spirit unto you. Now perhaps you come, yes, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. But the language there, O love divine, how sweet thou art, when shall I find my willing heart, all taken up by thee? Is that one with that longing? Longing to find and know this better part. Longing to be taught of God, those things, yes, the Spirit to reveal those things of God and of Christ to them. I may have said, and I know I've said it before, but when the Lord deepened that work in my soul, I wanted reality. I wanted reality. And those lines often were upon my lips. Spirit of truth, come down, reveal to me the things of God, make to me. Ah, yes. Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal to me the things of God. Make to me salvation known and witness with the blood. Ah, you found that amongst those that thirst and faint and die to prove. Yes, it's not one that is presumptuous. It's many that seem to have, they're borne along by a presumptuous spirit. But there's one that, yes, humbled under the mighty hand of God. He longs for these things, to be made known unto them. And they cannot be content until it is so. I thirst and faint and die to prove the greatness of redeeming love, the love of Christ to me. They were brought to see there's something wonderful in it, exceedingly precious in it, worth more than that golden wedge of acorn. Ah, yes, if you've been brought there, poor sinner, where you, the world and all it has to offer, what does it compare to a knowledge of Christ? We know we have those paths to walk out here below, and therefore we must attend to them. But oh, is it this? Ah, yes, your desire is toward Christ, and to know more of him. Well, you know, I often repeat concerning the Apostle Paul. Do you find your desires much like what the Apostle was brought to know? Yes, you read it in his epistle to the Philippians. Ah, the preciousness of Christ. The preciousness of Christ. And that was what he desired. He wanted that which was more precious than rubies. Ah, something thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. That is that knowledge of Christ. That's this wisdom. Happy is a man that findeth wisdom. Wisdom is Christ, and through his word. And I believe the apostle wasn't satisfied without that knowledge of Christ be made known unto him. As a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he was satisfied with that which he had naturally learned at the feet of Gamaliel. Ah, but the axe was laid to the root of that, and he is brought then with that living desire. You read of it in that third chapter of his epistle to the Philippians. And is it your desire that you might, yes, win Christ? Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That is that wisdom spoken of in the chapter we read. The knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Ah, not in the outward form, yes, many can name the name of Christ. Many can repeat the scriptures concerning Christ. But all, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformed unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, even either were already perfect, but I follow after that, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And so that hymn, the beginning of the service, the last verse, God only knows the love of God. So it's not naturally discerned. It's spiritually discerned by the teaching of the Spirit. God only knows the love of God. But oh, did you find then that that desire was another of the desires of your soul? Oh, that it were now shed abroad in this poor stony heart. Ah, do you feel your stony heart, your natural barrenness, and like those dry bones as we read of them in Ezekiel's prophecy? God only knows the love of God. Oh, that it now were shed abroad in this poor stony heart. Did you find that next line was the very longing of your soul? For this I sigh, for this I pine, this only portion, Lord, be mine this better part. That's one that desires what we've read in our text. Yes, and the psalmist put it like this, if I turn to it while we sat just for those few moments we had. But oh, the psalmist David. Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. bears an example of a petition to such a one that feels to have a stony heart and longs to be taught. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. You've been brought to see there's no salvation in any other. You long for this salvation, which is through Christ, and that made known unto you regarding Christ. You long for it to be made known unto you in that inward, in the inward part, not in the natural mind, but in the inward part, in the soul. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. So there will be that waiting upon the Lord. Yes. And did not we read this? My son at the beginning. My son. But there further down, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not unto thine own understanding. There's an understanding which, as we said, I believe a little earlier, that can be learnt like the schoolboy learns his task. You don't want that. You don't want that. And as I sat just for a moment, my mind also went, if I can find it again, I believe it's the 48th chapter in Isaiah. Well, we read this, yes, in the 48th chapter of Isaiah. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. Yes, the gospel we have before us, that which was in that way secret before. But there were those that believed it, like Abraham and David and those Old Testament saints. We have it in the revelation of it in the Gospels. The prophets spake of it, that which was to come. But we live in Gospel days. So it is not that which, they looked for that which was to come, and by faith they believed that Christ should come. You plead that the Gospels and that concerning Christ might be made known unto you. And that you like John. What a mercy. Unto John, did he not say, if I can find, behold the Lamb of God. Did he not declare this? This wasn't naturally learned. It was taught of the Spirit unto him. And as you've been brought to realize and see of a truth, you're a sinner. And having need, as a sinner, you have need of a sacrifice. You have need of an offering. You have need of blood. The shed blood of the sacrifice. For without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. What a mercy if, yes, like those Greeks of old, they came up to the house of God, and their desire was this: Sir, we would see Jesus. And I believe they wanted to know Christ in all his fullness, in all his beauty, that which he hath accomplished and done freely in the sinner's room place instead, as the Lamb of God. As the Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God, as I said, John declared, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. Yes, and so going back to that chapter in Isaiah. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I, and now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, Thou Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. A line came to my mind as we sat in the car as we arrived here. I don't know who quoted it, and who first may have quoted it, or where it come from. But it came to me, that which I know not, teach thou me. That which I know not, teach thou me. Perhaps that also touches a chord in someone's heart. There's much you feel you don't know. There's none like the Spirit that teacheth. That which I know not, teach thou me. And so is that verse in Isaiah, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Oh, does that give a little hope there? If you're found in that way, yes, found in that way. There's a little hope in his mercy, in that redemption through Christ. Yes, one that desires to know, but it speaks in this way, that one that longeth to be taught, if I can put it in that way. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. As we said a little earlier, there's none that can teach like the Spirit. And coming back to those lines, as I can remember those years ago, Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal to me, yes, you, perhaps you feel it like that, in that singular way, reveal to me. It is your never dying soul, your need as a sinner, your eternity. Reveal to me the things of God. And what are those things of God? They're concerning his salvation, which came through Christ. Reveal to me the things of God. Make to me salvation known, and witness with the blood. And in that way to see the blood of the Passover. The blood of the Passover. Ah, may you yet prove that we read in Psalm 146, I believe it is. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. As we said, that is Christ. And that which concerns his salvation. And the depth of it, the breadth of it, the height of it. And it comes unto the worst of sinners. Yes, as we read in Paul's epistle to the Romans, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What merchandiser is there, poor sinner? Over and above your sins. To pay your debt as a sinner. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. So he said, it's not the natural understanding of things of time, but are to be taught of the Lord. Those things like, as we said, the apostle, it became all his desire, was it? Became all his desire. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Well, when you think of that gain, the gain of merchandise and silver here below, as natural man looks upon it, it's just for time. Just for time. And the end of the world will all be burned up. bears nothing. In the end of their days, it will not do them in the swellings of Jordan. But what is that merchandise which is greater than that, which is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire not to be compared to unto her? That's the natural desire, and not to be compared unto her. Well, we read in that verse, length of days. Length of days. Well, when we think of the two classes of persons that will be found in that day of judgment. Ah, the wicked and the righteous. The Jacobs and the Esaus. Or if we look upon it like the crops of the earth, the wheat and the tares. No in between, but either one or the other. Ah, how solemn we read regarding Jacob. Jacob have I loved. Jacob was taught of the Lord. Here's one, yes, coming back to that psalm. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, that eternal hope. When you think of Esau, Esau have I hated. Ah, what a favourite is unto the Jacobs. Length of days. Eternal life. That glorious prospect that in that day when the Lord shall come again upon the earth. Yes, we know that those that are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the air. They shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. But those that died with a hope, a good hope through grace, they shall rise first with a body incorruptible, like unto his own. All you think upon it. Yes, man may have great success here below, be thought of something here below, but what is that compared to one, a son or a daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Eternal life. Ah, that's that length of days spoken of here. And in her left hand, riches and honour. Coming back to that, sons and daughters by blessed adoption, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Ah, yes, compared to that of Esau. Compared to those tares. A place where there's not everlasting life, but eternal death. Eternal death, where the fire is not quenched. The flame is not quenched, and the worm dieth not. But length of day. And that glorious prospect for the Lord's people, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. When I come again, I shall receive unto myself that where I am, that's the eternal God, where he resides, where he is king, where he sits and reigns in heaven's high court for good, that where I am, there you may be also. Ah, yes, a creature of the day, a dying creature, a dying sinner, with that good hope, raised again, with a body incorruptible. No more sin, no more sorrows, no more troubles, no more cares. Ah, yes, no more afflictions. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honour. And then that 17th verse. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Yes, what is that compared to that broad way which leadeth unto life? That broad way which leadeth unto death, that narrow way which leadeth unto life, the one or the other, the broad way which leadeth unto death, eternal death, a death that never ends. But that narrow way which leadeth unto life, searching, but we have to quote it, straight is a gate, narrow is a way, and few there be that find it. Oh, may that be our desire. It might be found amongst those sons, daughters, my son. And hearing those words of instruction, yes, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And as we quoted that out of Isaiah, I am the Lord thy God which teacheth thee. You plead, poor sinner, the Lord might teach you. Teach you those things which you desire to know, and perhaps like as our first hymn, to know the love of God in all its wondrousness, when it's made known unto a poor sinner. God only knows the love of God. Oh, that would now be shed abroad in this poor stony heart. For this I sigh, for this I pine. This only portion, Lord, be mine. Be mine this better part. But we've got the ordinance to attend to. Leave it there. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
May the Lord help us to commence this sacred and solemn service by singing hymn number 824, Tertian Remington 395. Hymn number 824. Oh, that our flinty hearts could melt, while to remembrance, Lord, we call part of that weight which thou hast felt, for who can comprehend it all? Ye sinners, while these symbols dear present your suffering, Lord, to view, drop the soft tribute of a tear, for he shed many a tear for you. Hymn number 824, Tertune Remington, 395.
The 12th chapter of Zechariah, And we'll commence at verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I'll cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I'll cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. His father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. It shall come to pass in that day that prophets shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman, for a man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. One shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? And he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Wake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I'll turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass in that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, It is my people, and they shall say, The Lord is my God. That purpose to save a remnant, and the certainty of it, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. It shall be shown unto them. As we try to speak this evening, ah, what a mercy when we, in our measure, look upon Christ. And in our measure, yes, we know it's only been a measure, just a small measure, of one that truly suffered. And why did he suffer? Because of the sins of his chosen, his people. So therefore, it is true what it speaks here. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. This is not the world that lies in wickedness. No wicked man and wicked hands may have laid hold upon him. But in that plan of salvation, it is those whom he hath loved. In that way they have pierced him, because it was for their sins. Their sins, not the whole world, but the sins of his people. And they shall be found then as mourners in Zion, mourning over their sins,
but mourning over one. And yes, brought into that place, they look upon one, this shepherd, that bore the sword of divine justice. And when they think upon, brought to meditate upon him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we cannot comprehend what his sufferings were in the fullness of it, neither will we. No man will. But when we're brought into that measure, just for a moment, from time to time, it makes us realise what he did suffer. Those sufferings, as a hymn writer put it, were so intense that angels have no perfect sense. Sword of divine justice. He bore it. We have pierced him. And that it might melt our hearts as we gather here, if we have a sense of what we've been and what we still are, a sinner. They shall look upon thee, whom they have pierced. But do we know then, that spirit of grace and supplications, what a mercy, that one whom we have pierced is risen indeed. Risen indeed. Having conquered death, hell and the grave, gained the victory, sitteth on the right hand of the Father, having ascended on high, and waits to be gracious, and the voice of thy cry will answer thee. And how often we have to go again and again. Like the children of Israel, when they were bitten by those serpents in the wilderness, there was that command, was it not, to make that brazen serpent raise upon a pole, and all that looked lived. All that looked lived. And the poor sinner, they shall look upon again and again that one they pierced. And they look to Christ, raised high upon a gospel pole, that ever liveth now, yes, ever liveth, to intercede for his people with those groanings which cannot be uttered. And so that morning, I've often wondered what that morning is. But I believe in this way, each one shall mourn for their own sins. They mourn for their own sins. The husbands for their sins, the wives for their sins, the families for their sins, each family apart. They shall be found amongst those mourners in Zion. It searches our heart how often we mourn over our sins. But as we're brought once again and favoured so together, as we partake of those emblems of his broken body and his shed blood, may we remember once again, brought in our measure to look upon Christ, whom we have pierced. May it melt our hearts, yes, again by dear degrees, and make our spirits meek. We soon become hard-hearted and unmoved. But pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. And that spirit of grace and supplications is that which is wrought in them when they see again and have to confess again that they're a sinner, having need of mercy. And they look to one who is able to do for his people, for a poor sinner, more than they can ask or even think, when he makes known unto them his salvation. We read in that 13th chapter concerning that fountain. In that day, we know the hymn writer put it like this, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. In that day, we read, there shall be a fountain, well, there is, there was, and there still is, it still flows. In that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That's the Lord's people, his chosen people. And what for? For sin and uncleanness. What a mercy then. Fresh contracted guilt. When we think upon what we've been in the past month, let alone even the past hours, even the very thought of foolishness is sin. And the hymn writer put it like this. I believe it was the Lord's servant last Lord's Day at South Morton spake, yes, like this. And how oft are we involved? How oft are we involved? Yes, coming back to that, sins of thought, word and deed. Sins of omission and commission. Oh, we'll ever have need of that fountain. Blessed be God. And it shall be there to the end of time, opened, never closed, open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Leave our comments there. Seek the Lord's blessing and help. O most kind and gracious God, once more thou hast spared our unworthy lives as a company of poor sinners to meet around thy table. And all it might please thee to have that once again made known unto us what we are, the sense of our sins, our uncleannesses, but all to view a precious Christ and that fountain opened in that day. And oh, what a mercy, like the brazen serpent raised upon the pole. All that looked lived. And oh, how I have to look again and again unto that one, the author and finisher of our faith. Ah, it's a solemn thing if thou would be just the author of our faith and not the finisher of it. But what a mercy. That one that has now ascended on high, the author of our faith, and shall be the finisher of it. And thou wilt pour out upon us again and again the poor sinner to confess his sins. Ah, that spirit of grace and supplications. Ah, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But all obtain mercy, and how often we need that mercy. All the mercy, the unmerited favour of Almighty God, made known unto a poor sinner, and grace to help in time of need. So do help us now, we plead, and do we seek now to do that which thou hast commanded. Oh, we plead that thou wouldest give that faith's eye view of Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. Ah, the Lamb of God once slain. Ah, yes, that which truly did satisfy the demands of the holy law of God. It left nothing undone. It left no more debts for the poor sinner to pay or make up for himself. Ah, the debt was paid. The debt was paid. Oh, we would praise him, but oh, melt our hearts now, we plead. Oh, may we then view Christ, a precious Christ, the Lamb of God, once slain. Amen. And so as we read in Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, that which he wrote unto them in way of instruction, and it's instruction unto the church of God down to the end of time. And so he penned this, and it was by the Spirit he penned it, for it is the word of God. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto, received of the Lord. So not of man's doing, it is that which has been instructed by the mouth of the Lord. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And I found these words searching, as I felt it so in my own heart. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, but all to be found amongst those, yes, unworthy sinners, sinners of the deepest dye, are they not welcome to taste of those living streams, to taste, of the body of Christ and his shed blood? What a mercy it is to sinners that feel themselves to be amongst the chief of sinners, when all to be feeling even now the chiefest of sinners, like the apostle said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So that one wretchedly feel to be the chief of sinners. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when he was here upon the earth, he ate with publicans and sinners. So it's unto sinners, not those that have no need, not those who are self-righteous, like the scribes and the Pharisees, but those that live to feel their need. They are welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead, and even this night as we gather here, to eat of those things which are about emblems of the broken body of Christ and his shed blood. Oh dear Lord, we would now seek thy blessing upon the bread, and as we break it and then deliver it and we partake of it, may we be lifted above the sign to see the substance, which is Christ, the spotless Lamb, who truly was slain, who truly did bear the sword of divine justice, whose visage was marred more than any man's. Look upon one whom we have pierced, all that crown of thorns that was placed upon thy head. Was it not because of our sin? Oh, may it please thee, melt our hearts. Comes again those lines, melt our hearts by dear degrees, and make our spirits meek. Oh, we plead then, bless it to us, most gracious God. May we taste, handle and feel of thee, the Lamb of God once slain. Amen. We now seek to partake of the wine. May we view that which was bitter, and how bitter that cup no heart can conceive. The bitter cup of the wrath of God, that penal wrath adieu for the sins of his people. Did it not cause thee to cry out, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me? We cannot comprehend what agonies. Yes, we read of those at the beginning of those agonies in the garden when they did sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. We cannot conceive what those agonies were. But all came to do his Father's will. Not my will, but thine be done. And so he did. Drank that bitter cup of the wrath of God that was poured out upon him. And all that vengeance due for our sins, thou didst bear it freely, lovingly, willingly. Oh, we thank thee. We thank thee. Ah, may we have been able to praise thee as we ought. But oh, we thank thee also for that fountain opened in that day. So on the one hand, we think of that bitter cup of the wrath of God. But on the other, the sweetness of salvation's plan, the sweetness of that fountain. Ah, yes, when the poor sinner once again tastes of those living streams, and it does his soul good. Ah, yes, fresh contracted guilt, and he has to go again and plead the name of Christ and that sin atoning blood. Yes, and he feels fresh life flow into his soul, all that looked lived. Oh, what a mercy. And as a dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, may we each likewise rejoice by faith when we view that fountain. That fountain open for all sin and uncleanness in our day. Oh, do grant thou that help as we partake of it. May we be able to meditate upon thee. And may, drawing once again from that fountain open for all sin and uncleanness, may we feel the efficacy of it, its healing power. Oh, we plead for Christ's sake. Amen. read in the Gospels. And after they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And so we will conclude by singing hymn number 439. Or may we be helped to sing it. 439 to tune Rockingham, 398. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? 439, tune Rockingham, 398. Precious Christ, revealed unto him their hope of glory, their salvation, their redemption, their atonement. Oh, they see all these beauties combined in Christ. Ah, the one that bore the sword of divine justice. Ah, yes, and as we read concerning thee when thou didst go into the judgment hall, those questions were put to thee. As a lamb before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Willingly offered himself. Ah, truly bearing the sin of many. Oh, we thank thee. Oh, we thank thee for it. And oh, when we find again and again, not that we should sin willingly, or the solemnity of it if we should, but oh, when we find the sin charged home to our conscience, our fresh contracted guilt, oh, there is that one that now waits to be gracious. And he points to his sufferings done in their room, place and stead, and once again speaks those words, "It is finished." It was a finished work. It satisfied the law. It pleased the Father. And so we plead thy blessing upon it this night. Remember those that look on, thou knowest that which burdens them and their desires in it all. Ah, there yet is room. Blessed be God, the day of grace has not ended. Or may there be that patient waiting for thy appearing. May there be that gracious seeking for thee to teach, to lead into all truth as it is in Jesus. And so we plead now the pardon of every sin, and all that thou mightest have seen amiss in us and done amiss in thy sight this night. Oh, do receive us graciously. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.